Before I bring on, before I play the piece from the lady in the North Slope of Alaska talking about fracking, I went to a time bank, a lecture on time banking here from, let's see, they're called co-op-eugene.org. And so a couple of things about time banking. It was interesting. What a time bank is a type of alternative currency where you would trade your services.
CooperationEugene.org.
So where you would trade your services, and they did an exercise, and it was interesting because, first of all, not to criticize the time bank, I think it's a great idea, but what happened was nobody had any real skills. Like, there was no one there that was a mechanic or a contractor or anything like that. Everybody had a lot of skills, but not any anything major. So, but that could be remedied easily. And what I realized was I've been reading some tracts from the anarchist crime think and anarchist tracts about work, and they're talking about the stop working. And what they're talking about is you should enjoy what you're doing. So the key to me for this time bank thing to work, in my opinion, is that everybody would be, you would enjoy what you're doing. So because the issue was, you know, I'm going to give more than I'm going to get out of the time bank. So, you know, that might happen. But if you're doing stuff that you enjoy doing, you don't care that you don't get as much back as you put out. And so what they were saying, too, is that you're not going to make a living off of this stuff. But that could be, you could make a living off of this stuff if other things had changed. Like we had, you know, urban farming going on. Food should be free by now in the 21st century. We should have figured out the food. I mean, why? I keep asking people, has there ever been in a society that the people that harvest our food are paid properly? So if we solve some of these other problems of the time bank thing, you actually probably could make a living. You could live and do what you enjoy and just trade services back and forth with your neighbors. So that was that's my take on the time bank thing. All right. So coming up here, like I say, an impassioned speaker on fracking on the North Slope of Alaska around a small town of 500 people that are just have no power whatsoever.
Talk to me about the answer.
What's your name and organization?
I'm Rosemary Tongarok, and I live in the village of Nooksit, Alaska. I don't have a specific organization that I'm working with. I am very concerned about the air quality on the North Slope. I have been working on this concern for decades, and we have not had the enforcement from the federal government to stop the flaring of the natural gas. We are dealing with over 30 flares a day on days that we're having the flaring going on, and yet the process for Canada, for California, they only allow 10 in a year. We're very concerned because we've got people that have respiratory illnesses, but we've also seen babies that have developed leukemia. We know that when these issues are occurring, that our risk factors go up. That's when we have many people that have respiratory distress. But the oil and gas development have tons of emissions that are related to that. In one of our studies in 2014, we have 68 million pounds of nitrous oxide, 2 million pounds of sulfur dioxide, PM10, 1 million 0.7, PM2.5, 1 million 0.7, VOCs, 1 million 0.3, acetaldehyde, 1,790 pounds, hexane, 4,400 pounds, phenol, 2,000 pounds, formaldehyde, 35,000 pounds, toluene, 5,000 pounds, xylene, 2,000 pounds. We are facing 20 drill rigs this year on the North Slope. This is the fastest things have happened. We need some help to help address these important concerns. We're all at risk. We share important birds that come from all seven continents. They come to the Arctic for renewal. These important connections are important to all of the other areas throughout our nation. If we want to work together, please contact me. My name is Rosemary Atongarok. I live in the village of Nooksit. RAHTUANGARUAK at gmail.com. We're very concerned. We can use a lot of help. We thank you for the work that's being done in Oregon and helping to reduce the emissions throughout our area. Every change that occurs to develop more roads and infrastructure in other areas cause us to have more oil and gas development. The cost of oil and gas development should not cost the health of the people who live where it's going to occur. Please come out and help us.
One quick question. So you're at the Environmental Law Conference and you're talking to lawyers. What is the government response? Are they helping you at all, or what? How are you working with your local government?
I have worked with many of our leaders throughout the state. We're having tremendous problems because our state depends on the revenue from the oil and gas to run our government, and so they are not responding to our concerns. They have had our local mayor say to us, we don't want to end up like Nooksit, but the sacrificing of our village is occurring with the surrounding of oil and gas development on all four sides of our community.
Right, and so aren't there subsidies? Would they be able to extract this and make a profit if it wasn't for the subsidies that they're getting from the federal or state government?
If we could stop the subsidies of the development, it would reduce the amount of development that is occurring, as well as it would prevent the development in the Arctic Ocean, which is the worst risk.
All right, anything else?
I want to thank everyone that's participating in these processes and learning about these important laws and working to outreach in the national process. The area I live is in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. We all have a say in what is happening in this area in the Arctic. Please come out and join us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so a cursory web search on this. Gives me, microphone problems again. So what I get is, surrounded by oil fields, Alaskan village fears for its health. Nooksit is only town planted in the middle of Alaska's most prolific oil region on the North Slope. AK Canada and Native Village of Nooksit, Alaska, file amicus brief. So, not hearing much about that on the mainstream news, are we? Okay, so, a little music here, and then some stuff from Michelle from Community Rights, Lane County.
killradio.org.
Right, that this isn't killradio.org. This is KEPW 97.3 FM, low power radio from Eugene Peaceworks. Also simulcast on KEPW.org. All right, get your pens and pencils out because I'm going to give you this. Give you her email again after a couple other things. So it's rahtuangaruak@gmail.com. That's rahtuangaruak@gmail if you want to get involved, if you want to help this lady on the North Slope of Alaska stop the fracking. And it goes in, it's not, it goes into the water, not just the air, but she's concentrating on the air. Okay, so here is Michelle from Community Rights Lane County that recorded at the Environmental Law Conference here at the U of O.
All right, so what is your organization and what do you do?
Well, I am with Community Rights Lane County. We are one of many local chapters around the country, and actually internationally we're part of the community rights movement.
Okay, and so what are you working on now? What are your current campaigns?
We have two campaigns that we've been working on. One is Freedom from Aerial Herbicide Alliance. That's the name of the PAC, and we're trying to ban aerial herbicide spraying from helicopters in Lane County, in Lane County forests. And then along with that, it's a sister ordinance, and it's the right to local community self-government, which actually sanctions and authorizes legally the citizens' use of the initiative power. It gives us the right to write and pass laws that will protect our health, safety, and welfare.
All right, I was just in a lecture on the initiative and resolution process. So what are corporations doing? Are corporations making it difficult for you to do that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the initiative power was granted the people long ago because government was listening to corporations and not really doing the people's bidding. That's what government's supposed to do, right? Well, we saw that that wasn't happening. We fought in the 20s to get the initiative process. We got it. And then they saw that we're using it. Well, that doesn't sit so well with the power brokers. So they've been throwing obstacles in our path ever since. Both of our measures have been in court two and three different times. We're now appealing in the Court of Appeal on our Right to Local Self-Government initiative. Timber interests have been throwing lawsuits at us. It is always going to be a struggle, but you know, we have moral imagination on our side, and we're not stopping.
Well, so even eventually it might come down to a standoff where you just, even though the corporations say one thing, you're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Do your own thing anyway.
Absolutely. And actually, you know, this is considered civil disobedience through lawmaking, because everything that is happening to us people, that is legal. It's all legal. Corporations have been super smart and have gotten the law on their side, while the people are relegated to just being consumers, you know, kind of complacent consumers. Well, that's changing, and community rights is a place where we empower people to know that we don't have a democracy, we have a corporatocracy, and if we want a good democracy, which seems like a damn good idea, we're going to have to stick ourselves into the mess, insert ourselves into the problems that we have, and be the decision makers that really, constitutionally, we are. We have that. It's written into our Constitution that the people are the sovereign.
Well, and so our conservatives are against corporations, too. What, like, are you getting farmers with the pesticides? I notice Monsanto, there's a lot of drift over to the farmers. Are you getting any allies with conservatives in your movement against corporations?
Nationally, absolutely. Absolutely. Nationally, that is happening. And locally, I mean, I live in the Coast Range. I live in the midst of logging Oregon. And if you talk to loggers, conservative loggers, and you say, why is it that corporations have more power to do harm in our communities than we have to protect ourselves from those harms, they'll agree. They don't want corporate dominance any more than progressives, left wing, right wing. It's a unifying notion. The corporations have got too much power. They have bought our government, and you don't have to be a progressive to know that.
Well, and fishermen too. They don't want that you're allowed to cut trees right up to the river, and it affects their fishing and hunting rights.
There are allies in all sectors of the population, and yes, it's true. The fishermen and the loggers will disagree about practices, environmental practices. Where they will align, I'm sure that this is no surprise, but they will align around corporate dominance. And that's what we have to do, is we have to revert back to where corporations used to be, when they served the public good and where they were chartered for a specific amount of time. And it was for a specific purpose. Now they have these long into perpetuity charters that benefit only them and their stockholders. That's a lot of BS.
Well, I know the battle in Seattle, labor and environmentalists marched together.
Right.
But what about the clear cutting too? You're using a feller buncher and you're using a machine, so doesn't it take away jobs
absolutely.
From loggers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I also serve on a school board in Western Lane County, and we have watched our population diminish as loggers have lost jobs. This is such a workers' issue. This is not just an environmental issue. This impacts local school districts. It impacts local communities, and really, you're finding people leaving the country and going into the cities and not being able to find work. You know, and also, I mean, I have a lot of respect for the family logging community, and we've watched it just be decimated. There's work out there, but they've given it over to a way that gives the stockholder a bigger piece of the pie.
Well, and what about, speaking of stockholders, are you doing any stockholder activism or resolution? Have you appealed to the stockholders at all, that they might actually make more money if for instance, there's a subsidy on, they wouldn't be able to cut trees without subsidies. So isn't there a way that the shareholders would actually make more money if Weyerhaeuser and them were to diversify into something else, into some other business besides cutting trees?
Well, I think you're probably right. We haven't taken that tack, but you know, I think self-interest rules the day, and no old school Weyerhaeuser is going to look to change its ways until they're forced to change their ways. It's working fine for them. I think maybe appealing to the stockholders is another idea. I had never thought of that, but stockholders are people too.
Well, and what about moving the subsidies? This is my own idea, and I admit that Weyerhaeuser, we should just get rid of Weyerhaeuser completely. They've had a 100-year run of robbing the forest. But what about getting them into recycling instead of? Would you be in favor of them moving toward recycling rather than cutting trees and using the subsidy to encourage them to recycle rather than cut trees down?
Yeah, I'm in favor of anything that's earth friendly and people friendly. I'd like to see forests of hemp. I mean, that's not a new idea, and it's being exhibited in many countries around the world. Hemp is really a renewable resource, and trees, you know, they say trees are a renewable resource. Well, the forest is not.
No, it takes 100 years for trees to renew. Yeah. All right, anything else you want to say?
Well, communityrightslanecounty.org is the place to go. We're always looking to talk to people and grow our numbers. This is an international movement. We have chapters in Ecuador and in India and Cameroon and in 12 states in the Union. Oregon is a very enlivened state with community rights actions. So, yeah, communityrightslanecounty.org. Check us out.
Well, we were just talking about, there's a city council person up in, she has a show up on KBOO, and she's saying that Oregon is not green, nearly as green as we thought it was.
That's very true. That's very true. People come here and they say, the people are shocked to see the state of our rivers and the clear cuts right to the highways. It's a red alert, and we think we've found a way to empower people to write our own laws that will challenge unjust laws, laws that protect the people and the planet. We're on to something. We're excited to be challenging corporate control.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. This concerns two old ladies who get shifted out by a man who has plenty of money and plenty of houses. And he earns himself an award, a medal, by his dealings in houses. Questa canzone è del ultimo album Foxtrot, or something like that. Questa si chiama Get 'Em Out by Friday.
Mary, and we believe to leave.
advancement from genetic control. It is my sad duty to inform you of a vault restriction of humanoid. I hear the directors of genetic control been buying all the properties that have recently been sold, taking risks out so bold. Except now that people will be shorter in height, they can fit twice as many in the same building aside. They say it's all right. They can live with the tenants in the town of Apollo. In the interest of humanity, they be told they must go.
This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KEPW 97.3 Low Power FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio, simulcast on KEPW.org. All right, a couple tidbits. I didn't have much for you this week. More coming next week, and some projects that I'm working on here. First of all, let me give you this Rosemary of Nooksut, Alaska, where they're fracking, and she's very upset about the air quality up there. Let me give you her email again, rahtuangarauak@gmail.com. rahtuangarauak@gmail.com. So if you have, if you can help her out in any way, send her somebody that can, a lawyer preferably. That would be great. All right, and some of the things I'm working on is there's no way to – we're not recycling cardboard. We're basically sending cardboard into – especially since China is not taking it anymore. We're basically sending it into the landfill, and this is ridiculous. So sustainable radio program that I listen to, whose name escapes me at the moment, they had – this guy, Ash Kalra, is an assemblyman from California. And what he's going to do is pass a bill, AB 572, would mandate state contracts involving forest risk commodities only to go to companies with sustainable practices. And so, and these sustainable practices right now are being used as kind of a greenwashing. So if you know of a sustainability underwriter, we need these guys to get on the ball and make sure that these forest products are being procured sustainably. And I suspect the cost would go up quite a bit on forest products if they truly were harvested sustainably. And you know, there's all kinds of things we could be using besides forest products to build our houses with. Really don't need to build it with wood. Even the three little pigs stopped building their houses with sticks. You know, you don't even see the wood inside. I keep seeing these houses being built, and they're just a bunch of boards in there that are. You don't need it for the structural members that you're never going to see. You don't need. So over half of these houses, and it would take more skilled labor. Just a quick example: I was in Detroit at the Turnbullplex as an anarchist colony there, and the guy was telling me that they're. You know, they have these beautiful brick buildings in Detroit, and instead of paying a high-paid, using low-interest loans to pay highly skilled labor to fix up these houses, they just either tear them down or leave them abandoned and build shoddy stick-built homes for people and import labor and just build shoddy stick-built homes. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways. We really don't need... We should be subsidizing recycling of cardboard rather than subsidizing forest products. You wouldn't be able to build a house with wood if it wasn't subsidized. Okay, so and then I always got to say one other thing is I keep hearing, you know, the Middle East is in the news again, and people are being accused of being anti-Semitic. So let me just throw this one out at you, Mordecai Vanunu. Free Mordecai Vanunu. Mordecai Vanunu released information on Israeli nuclear, the nuclear program. Israel has anywhere from 200 to 400 nuclear weapons illegally. No one is supposed to have nuclear weapons in the Middle East at all because it would cause a nuclear Armageddon if you used them, especially long-range nuclear weapons, which is what they have. So Mordecai Vanunu, they finally let him out of jail, but he is still not allowed to talk to the press and is still not free in to leave Israel. So I have nothing against Israel, not anti-Semitic, but free Mordecai Vanunu. All right, thanks for listening. That's Talks Cheap for this week. KEPW 97.3, Low Power FM, Eugene, Oregon.
This is KEPWLP 97.3 FM.